What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Well, hello, and it feels so good to say this. Welcome back to Sierra Unfiltered. It has been a minute.
Yeah, I mean, it's been almost 2 years.
A little bit longer than a minute. I have Steven here with me, by the way, for any of the audio listeners. But yeah, we are back. We are podcasting. I am very nervous, and I have kind of forgotten how to podcast. So just bear with me. It's probably going to take a little while for us to figure out like our flow again, you know?
We've been wanting to do this for a while, and I'm so glad that we're just finally sitting down and doing it.
Literally, since the day that we put the podcast on hiatus, it was, okay, you know, how do we want to bring this back? How do we want to change things? For anyone who didn't listen to the podcast before, Sierra Unfiltered was a podcast that I did with my best friend, Skylar, and it's one of my favorite projects I've ever done. And Skylar decided she wanted to live her life privately offline. She's doing fantastic, by the way, for anyone who, you know, is curious, but she is still wanting her privacy. So, you know, we do ask that you respect that. But she's doing great, and she, you know, wants to see the podcast continue, and I want to see the podcast continue. But I built it up in my head of like, not just the how, but like, you know, the specifics of, okay, what's the intro gonna be? What's the format? Of course, who's the co-host gonna be? And I think I've tried to relaunch it like 4 times. And I just, it got so overwhelming, and I wanted it to be perfect that I just never did it.
Yeah, and since the time we did that last episode, you know, however many, almost 2 years ago, we've had a freaking baby.
Like, yeah,
a little baby girl named Grace, and, you know, we can talk about her and our experiences through that. And I think that was a great way to kind of just sit down and start talking again in front of the mic.
Yeah, I thought that would be a good topic for us to start out with. I think this episode's going to kind of, we're just going to chat about parenthood. I have some questions from y'all. And I think that's a good jumping off point because that's something that we both have so much to say on.
And I'm very excited to share my thoughts.
You have a lot of really interesting takes about parenthood, and I love talking with you about parenthood, which is, I think, hopefully this will be a good conversation to share
as
well.
No, I remember it was like the second month Grace was here. Like, I opened a box and I made a comment on things, and you're like, oh, that'd be so great to talk on the podcast about.
Yeah.
And here we are.
And now we're doing it. We're talking about it on the podcast. Oh, also, should probably mention this since it's you and I doing the first episode back. Steven's not going to be the co-host for every episode. I think I'm just going to kind of alternate, like do some with my friends, do some with you.
We're still figuring it out.
We're
seeing where the wind blows on this one. So.
Yes. So we're filming this episode today, Steven and I, and the next week my friends Ryan and Paloma are coming down from LA, and I think we're going to film a podcast episode. Talked about doing one with my dad. I think, you know, just we'll kind of feel it out. We'll try a lot of different things.
Yeah. Well, on that note, so Sierra did post on the community tab and Instagram.
Yes, I did.
I think we did decide to focus on like what's been our experience from parents and, I don't know, things to talk about from that.
Which I feel like I should give this disclaimer first. Steven and I are going to do our best to not necessarily give advice, but more so give our perspective. We have been parents for 8 months, so we're not exactly experts. But it is, you know, in that 8 months, we have experienced a lot. And I think, you know, we want to share our perspective and our experience. But I'm going to try, and I think Steven is too, to steer away from like the advice or like the hard line, like this is the way to do things, because A, we're not really qualified for that, and also B, there is so much like so many polarizing opinions when it comes to parenthood, and we'll get into that because I did pull a couple questions about that. But a lot of the times it does feel like you have to do it this way or it's wrong or this is the best way to parent. And honestly, like, I don't know the best way to parent. And truly, I don't think anyone does, because I think every child is so different and every parent is so different. What works for one family isn't going to work for another.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry.
Thank you for your long and detailed response.
The whole time I've been thinking of this one dad joke I was waiting to make.
Make it. Now is the time.
So you said, you know, we've only been parents for 8 months. And I was like, well, technically, I've been a parent. We've been parents for a lifetime. It's just Grace's lifetime.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. We have been parents for a lifetime.
Yeah.
But the lifetime is.
So then also like months. Context as we go into this discussion for those who aren't following along on the ride. So Grace is our little daughter. She's 8 months old. Mm-hmm. Sierra was when she was pregnant. Let's see. When a week overdue date.
Uh-huh. And I had an induction 8 days after my due date.
Had an induction, which led to a non-planned C-section.
Yes. So 60-hour labor. And then it's not technically an emergency C-section. It's an unscheduled C-section, I think is how they classify it. So when the C-section happened, it was basically like, 5 minutes between them saying, I need to go for a C-section to me being in the operating room.
It was a very quick turnaround of, hey,
it
we're going to.
It was quick, but it wasn't an emergency where they just wheeled me right off. I still signed the consent forms and they gave me the rundown. Steven got in scrubs and got to come in the room.
Yeah.
Which those things don't, my understanding is with a true emergency C-section, those things don't usually happen.
Yeah, I don't think I would have joined you if it was a true emergency.
Yeah.
So fast forwarding a little bit, then we had Grace. Grace, perfectly healthy little baby girl. Mm-hmm. And then we've just been going through the whole parenting thing, you know. Now we're 8 months in, Grace is a little angel, and I'm sure we'll get more into it. And with some questions.
Yeah, actually, okay, first question. This is, I think, a good jumping off point. A lot of people wanted to know if we think parenting is harder or easier than people crack it up to be. Like, what our expectations were going in.
Yeah. You want me to start?
Yeah, you start.
I would say definitely harder, but so incredibly more worth it. So that it kind of comes off easier. It's like mentally at the end of the day, I say it's easy. But like, there's definitely some hard parts to it.
But because it's so rewarding, that makes it feel a little bit easier.
Like, I feel harder has a kind of a negative connotation to it, maybe. So I don't want to label it that too much.
So maybe it's not hard, but maybe it's, like, laborious.
I think when I describe it to people, I'm like, it's by far the hardest thing I've ever gone through, but it's also been by far the most rewarding. So, like, I feel like those two had to be tied together.
And do you think, as a dad, did you have somewhat realistic expectations of what day-to-day parenthood would be like, or did you have no idea?
I mean, as a dad or regardless, I just had no expectations. I had no idea what it entailed to raise a kid.
Well, I think why I say as a dad is because as a mom, as a woman, I have kind of been steeped in parenting culture and taking care of children for a lot of my life. Like, I babysat. I took care of my younger brother a lot. Like, And I also have a lot of friends who are moms, and so I knew what it was like from them. So I feel like going into parenthood, I had a pretty good idea of what life would be like raising a child. I had, like, a pretty good understanding of what it would be like, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I say I definitely did not. You know, we do have close friends who have kids, but, like, I don't know. Seeing the day-to-day stuff besides, like, oh, they're over, we're having fun for a couple hours, okay, bye.
That was surprising to you.
I mean, that's about as much as I knew about kids, so yeah.
Yeah.
It was all very new. But yeah, I'm actually interested in your opinion on this too. Would you say it was easier or harder than you expected?
Okay. I feel like it was easier, but I want to give a little asterisk on that. Asterisk. A little footnote. I have a lot of privileges that have made motherhood and the transition to motherhood easier for me. So, like, for example, we had the benefit of time to prepare. This was not an unplanned pregnancy. We tried for a while. And so I was ready for my life to change. I was ready for that change.
Yeah.
I have a very flexible job. I do YouTube, social media. I work for myself. I can set my own hours. You got a lot of paternity time. We have family nearby who can help take care of Grace. We have financial security. Like, a lot of things that have just really made that transition easier for me. And so parenthood has been easier for me than I expected. However, I don't want to ignore all of that privilege and say, parenthood is easy. motherhood is easy. Yeah. Having a baby is easy because even on top of all of that privilege that I had, we also have a pretty chill baby. Like she's been pretty easy.
And as part of that answer is would you say you had better expectations going into it?
I did. I do think I also had pretty realistic expectations. I don't think I expected motherhood to be a walk in the park. And so I think I was very aware that there would be very hard days, but I don't think I was aware of how wonderful the wonderful days would be.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, those hard days do exist, very much so. And those hard moments exist. But like you said, those really wonderful, fulfilling moments are so much better than I could have imagined.
Yeah.
And then the next question, which is kind of in that same vein, I'm just going to read this verbatim because mm-hmm. I feel like it was worded very well. And it was also the most liked comment when I asked for questions on the community tab. So this person said, "Hi, Sierra. Question I've been asking myself every time I watch your vlogs. Is Grace as happy as she seems in your videos? Mm. I have a 6-month-old and my life is crazy, but you seem to have it down and have a perfect baby. Did you get lucky or is this the power of video editing and perception?"
Yeah, that's a great question. Great question. Like, to open it up right away, like, no, that the baby online is not who Grace is as a baby.
Yeah, that is the highlight reel. That is what the image, the curated footage that we are choosing to share publicly.
Yep.
And I try to balance, it's a hard place to strike a balance, but I try to balance not showing things of Grace that could embarrass her, not overexposing her, and not filming her vulnerable moments. Because in the same way that if Steven and I were having a tough time, if we were arguing, I'm not going to break out the camera and film him.
Yeah.
If Grace is having a hard time and I'm trying to soothe her and comfort her, part of that is not going to be me taking the camera out. That's just not going to happen. But at the same time, I don't want to project this unrealistic idea of motherhood that then causes other parents to go, well, she has it all together and I don't.
Yeah.
And so I try to find that balance, right, of, okay, I'm not going to film Grace crying. I'm not going to show those vulnerable moments. However, I can talk about the hard days from my perspective. And so, like, a couple weeks ago, we had a really hard day where Grace did not sleep the night before. We were exhausted. I was having a hard time. And I was like, you know what? I think I do want to vlog today anyways because I want to show this and I want to show me having a hard time and also show me trying to turn the day around.
Yeah. The thought in the back of our heads when looking at like the vlogs is that, you know, this is our experience as Steven and Sierra. And then, oh, here's Grace having fun. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's at the end of the day, it's more of our perspective on things. And it's not like a reel of Grace all day.
Yeah. And so to answer that question specifically, Grace cries. Grace has hard moments. Grace has a hard time. But that is not what we're going to share on the internet. And I hope that I am able to navigate that balance somewhat well, where I'm not just showing this, you know, unrealistic, curated version of motherhood that makes other moms feel bad. But also at the same time, I'm going to lean more towards the cautious side of not showing too much of Grace. And if I have to lean a little bit too much one way or the other, I'm going to lean into not sharing as much as to not overexpose her.
Yep. Yeah.
And like I said earlier, we do have that list of privileges that have made parenthood easier for us. So I think it's a combination of editing and of us having a relatively easy transition to parenthood.
Yeah. No, it's, it's a good question.
All right. Do you want to read the next question? Because this one's about you.
Yeah, so according to my document here, I have, how did Steve, I like how Steve's becoming a nickname, feel during your labor and delivery?
Yeah.
I feel bad that the first question about labor and delivery is me.
Well, I organized the question, okay, so.
That is true, you're right. This is not asked in order.
I want you to be included. I want your perspective. So I purposely put that towards the top.
Yeah, so obviously when that comes, I'm just kind of along for the ride. And shout out to all the women out there giving birth, because that's just a freaking crazy experience. So it was definitely so, right? Because to me, labor and delivery, I think of the last, you know, half an hour before Grace came.
You think of the delivery and not the labor.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, the whole thing was just kind of, I've even then from the get-go of being Sarah getting pregnant, I was just terrified of this idea of birth.
Yeah.
It was just, ah. And sure enough, our journey definitely turned into an ah moment. So we were in the hospital, 60 hours?
Yeah.
And, you know,
60 hours of labor. And then we stayed in the hospital, I think, 3 days after birth.
It started out fun. Everyone's laughing, giggling around. And then, you know, the last 12 hours was getting hard. I was not sleeping because, one, Sarah was just kind of constantly going through things. And then I'm in a hospital, so I'm not sleeping because, well, I tend to need more quiet environments than that. And then things just weren't going. They weren't going wrong. They just weren't going right. It was trending in a bad direction.
Yeah.
And then anyway, so then they finally, you know, the doctor, so it was actually Sierra's OB who came in and was like, hey, like, this isn't working out. The baby's going through her various things. She had, like, just more and more deceleration to the heart rate. And it was like, it's time to get her out. We're going to go to a C-section. And Sierra was already just, like, so brave, just, like, this shock of emotion in her face. But she was very calm. She's like, okay, let's do this. I immediately walked straight into the bathroom and just started sobbing. That's also the weird thing, like, birth, like, I had to be, like, this stone wall, like, support system. Like, because you were going through it, so it's like, no matter how I feel, I gotta, like, hide it for now, because she's going through something worse, and I'll just kind of be there. So I just go in the bathroom crying. I'm like, oh, gosh! And I go out, and you're still so brave, so I was like, okay. So anyways, I've already not slept last night, so I'm already in a weird place. Haven't eaten, because stress. And then we go into the, Sarah gets wheeled in, and I'm getting suited up in my weird, you know, surgical gowns and things. And I look at Sierra's mom, Lori, and I'm like, I already feel like I'm going to pass out, and I'm going into a surgery room. Or like, I don't do super good with, like, you know, blood and things. So I'm like, okay, let's do this. And it was just the craziest thing. C-section went just fine. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, doc.
Yeah.
And that was, I just was just, you know, on a whole different planet. That was probably one of the worst, you know, I've lived a good privileged life, and that was by far probably one of the worst moments. Like, that 15-minute window of, we're doing the C-section, we're going in the surgery room, Sierra's blood squirting on the ground. Like, I saw Sierra's uterus out of her stomach, and it was just, nope, definitely the low of my life so far.
But then immediately after, and then, like, there was the high of your life.
And then my freaking baby girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a freaking whirlwind.
Do you want to talk about you passing out after?
Oh, yeah. So anyways, as I was trying to highlight that, you know, I wasn't doing so hot. Baby girl's there, so now I have a freaking daughter. My wife's wheeled in from surgery, just everything, and I was like, I'm going to pass out.
Well, you're leaving out the crucial part. So I wanted to do skin to skin, but they had to stitch me up first. So they brought baby to me, they let me see her, and then they were like, hey, we have to take her off, we have to stitch you up. So I told Steven asked me, he's like, do you want me to stay with you? Go with her. I was like, go with her. I want you to do skin to skin since I can't. So they're stitching me up. Steven and my mom and Grace are all in the labor room because I was in, like, the OR. And Steven's doing skin to skin. And then I come in and I get to do skin to skin. And after about maybe, 5 minutes of me doing skin to skin, I start feeling a lot of pain. My medicine starts wearing off. I'm in so much pain. I'm shaking. Did I throw up? I think I threw up.
You were deteriorating.
It was bad.
You're deteriorating.
So I was basically like, Steven, I can't hold her anymore, and I need you to. And Steven's like, I am going to pass out. And the way my mom describes it is, it was simultaneously, like, the best thing and the worst thing for her, because she didn't expect to get to hold Grace that early, you know?
Well, that long.
And that long. But also, she was sad that, you know, it got, I couldn't, you couldn't, and so then she had to. So Steven holds Grace for a little bit, and then you can, go from there.
Yeah, and this still feels wrong talking about my experience.
I don't know why. I'm asking you to share.
Yeah. I know. You chose this question
because
you wanted to hear me talk
about it. I chose it.
But it still feels wrong. Yeah, anyway, so you can imagine me on the ground, nurses looking at me like, are you good? And I'm just like, I need food. So
we had fruit snacks.
Yeah, I ate like 4 bags of fruit snacks, get some sugar in my blood. And anyways, later that night, then I just sit there staring at this baby as Sierra finally starts getting some sleep. And I was like, I know I should be getting sleep, but like, how could I just need to stare at freaking Grace. Like, what the heck? Like, that's my daughter. Holy crap.
Yeah. All right. Going into the next question, how was life and recovery after the C-section?
So is this like back home or even after?
I think we should talk more about in the hospital because we didn't really talk about that in the birth vlog. It was like labor, Grace is born, and then clip of us like 4 days later. So we kind of skipped over all of that.
Yeah, a lot happened in those 4 days.
And we skipped over it because we needed to be fully focused on Grace and on my recovery and not be worried about anything else. So we were like, let's just not, let's not film this.
As a couple who, you know, brings a camera into moments a lot, there was no thoughts of cameras for at least 4 days.
It wasn't even a conversation. No. It was just, nope.
It was neon. Yeah, it was not even a thought. It was just, all right, let's survive these next 4 days.
That's such a good way to put it. It was purely survival. And the way I would describe my C-section recovery is it was a very steep incline of things getting better. So the first day after my C-section was probably the hardest day of my life. I would say it was harder than any of the labor, harder than the actual C-section. The first time I had to get up out of the bed after they like took out the catheter and the IVs and stuff was one of the lowest moments of my life. Yeah. That was incredibly difficult.
I think an important word to float in there for context is like the fear of not knowing, right? Because you say it was a steep recovery. But that first day and even the second day, you had no idea about that.
I had no idea how much better it would get that quickly.
Yeah, because it was like the next morning. I mean, you literally couldn't move. Your whole abdomen was, you know, well, literally ripped in half or cut in half. But it was just like that fear of like, oh my gosh, this is going to be my forever life now. I can't like lift myself up or anything. And it was, yeah. I think that fear of like not knowing, you're right, because looking back on it, the trajectory is like, oh, it got better really quick.
Yes.
It was in that moment you did not know
I didn't know that. And that's what I wish I had known. I wish I would have known how quickly it would get better. Because that first day was so hard. And the second day was a million times better. Still hard, but manageable. Third day, 1,000 times better than the second day. Fourth, and it got, like, each day got so much better. That by a week, I was able to walk around the house. I was able to lean down and pick up Grace. Yep. By 2 weeks, we were able to like go on walks and I could push the stroller. But on that first day, I could not imagine that. And so
And that's your first surgery.
Like, that was my first. Well, kind of. I had my wisdom teeth out. Okay. But
No. Come on. This is guts open, organs
out. Uterus out.
Yeah, this is very different.
Which, wait, I want to talk about that too. Because about an hour after my C-section, Steven walks up to me. We're having this sweet moment. And he goes, also, I want you to know. I saw something in that operating room. I don't think you're ready to know about it now, but you're going to want to know. So you just let me know when you're ready.
Yeah.
And it was about, well, maybe 2 weeks later, like a week after we got home. Do you want to tell them what you told me?
Yeah, I was like, Sarah, I literally saw the doctor holding your uterus like
outside my
six
body.
6 inches above your stomach. I was like, what?
So, yeah, that's what Steven saw.
And I saw that on my way to see Grace for the first time.
You really got to know me inside and out that day.
Gosh. All right.
Do you like that joke?
All right, let's find the next question. All right,
next question. Okay, next question. This is another one about your perspective. So don't feel bad because I picked it and I want to hear you talk about it. So you're not centering yourself. I'm centering you. Right. I want to hear it.
Yeah.
I would love to hear about the dad experience, Steven's advice for other new dads, and breaking down stereotypes for dads. I think that's really interesting because we've talked a lot about like the stereotype of the uninvolved dad, the joke of like the dad just being like, oh, I can't do that. Only mom can. And, you know, even like the four moms thing. You should talk about that because that was really interesting.
The fact that there's like a brand called Four Moms. Which we actually love their products.
Yeah, we do.
It's just a weird thing. When I use it, I'm like, am I not supposed to use it? Am I not supposed to like this? Like, this is for moms, not for dads.
Even like Steven was talking about, he opened up the package and they had a big thing of like, hey, mama, this and that.
Yeah. I bought Grace like an outfit, like a cute little dress or something. Oh, you know, actually look cute in it. And then I opened it up and it said, hey, mama. And I was like, well, I'm not a mom. Like, oh, am I not supposed to be excited about buying my daughter a dress? Like, I don't know. It was interesting. I feel excluded in some of these things. And, you know, even then, I don't know, just various things. Like sometimes I'll go to the zoo during the week because I'm on my paternity leave that I've been so blessed to have. And I'll be at the zoo with Grace. And I'm like, I desperately try to find a single dad out there by themselves with a kid.
Yeah.
I never find one. I'm like, it's just me and a bunch of moms. Like, this is kind of interesting, and I don't know. It's just been kind of an interesting experience going through that, and I've been, like, keeping a little tally in my head of things.
Yeah. I remember another thing that you told me was that you almost – it kind of makes you feel conflicted emotionally when people, like, praise you for being so involved and praise you for being, like, a true 50-50 partner with me, in that you feel like it's almost expected for you to not be involved as a dad. And that
the expectations for me that I've experienced, and also just kind of looking at, you know, the online expectations for dads, is just so low.
The bar is on the floor.
Like, if I changed a diaper, people would like high five me, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the bar is so low. It's just so surprising.
Right. Well, and so here's the other thing I was going to add. Do you think you having, so Stephen had 13 weeks of paternity leave. Do you think you having so much paternity leave set you up to be a really involved dad? Because if you had been, a lot of dads out there in the US literally don't get any, and they'll take 2 days off of work and then go right back. Yeah. If you had had that, maybe you wouldn't be so involved. And maybe there are dads out there who aren't very involved who would have been if they had that paternity time.
Yeah. No, it's hard. I mean, so obviously that did nothing but help that right. phase. And then also, in a weird way, the C-section did a whole lot to help that. Because that was like, okay, Steve, you're going to take care of Grace like the first week, you know, almost by yourself.
Right. If I hadn't had the C-section, we may have defaulted to me changing the diapers and me swaddling her. And me doing that stuff because, like I said, I grew up, you know, babysitting, and I liked taking care of kids. And so I had more experience. I probably would have defaulted to that. But because I was recovering from the C-section, it kind of forced you to be super involved from the very beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember in the hospital, it was like an hour after she was born. It's like, okay, time to change your diaper, Dad. And I was like, and my brain was like, oh, Ciro would do this like at the beginning and teach me how to do it. Ciro would teach me everything. And here I was, the first thing I was like, oh no, Sierra can't teach me because she's over there, you know, figuring out her own thing. And
But you have been such a wonderful partner and a wonderful dad. Even if the bar wasn't on the floor, you would still be exceeding it. So I want you to know that. All right, next question. Okay, sorry, had to take a second so I could pee and we could change the camera battery, but we're back. Okay, next question. What is our parenting style, or what is like the parenting style we aspire to have?
Huh. Yeah, this one always gets my brain going.
That's why I picked it.
See, I should have picked some questions so I could like pick your brain on things. Next time, that's what I'll do.
Okay.
Yeah, so my opinion, not a fan of like labels, parenting styles, things like that, because parenting is far more like complex and nuanced than like a single label or three labels of your choice could kind of go.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it does help to kind of give an idea, but I don't know.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think if I had to choose, I would say evidence-based, because I feel like we first look to, like, the AAP recommendations and what the science says, and 9 times out of 10, if there's, like, a official hard line, you know, this is what the evidence says, we're going to go with that. And then for the things that are, you know, more nuanced, for the things that are, you know, well, you could do it this way, you could do it that way, we go to personal preference and, you know, what works best for us, what works best for Grace, and, you know, talking to the other parents in our real life to see what works for them as well.
Yeah. No, I just use, I do it the Sierra and Steven style.
Yeah. And it's your favorite parenting style.
Yep, that's my favorite.
Just our way.
That's the parenting style I do, is the parenting style I give to Grace.
All right, next question, probably going to be a quick one, but a lot of people did ask this. Just kind of wanting us to talk about our decision to raise Grace as a pescatarian.
Huh, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, the answer is not interesting. it was just, so context, Sarah's vegetarian. I'm not vegetarian. Pescatarian's kind of right in the middle. It's, you know, and working with our pediatrician, looking at things like, you know, nutrition, it's a great source of protein.
Mm-hmm. It's also a lot of shellfish are common allergens. And so there's some science that shows that introducing those early can lessen the probability of developing an allergy later. And so we basically talked about it ourselves, talked about, you know, what we would like to have happen with Grace's diet. And then had a conversation with Grace's pediatrician to kind of pick her brain about it and see what she thought was best. And we came to the decision between me and Steven and Grace's pediatrician that pescatarian diet would be good for her.
Yeah. And like, that even makes it sound like it was a more complicated decision than it was. It was just kind of a natural, I don't know.
Yeah. I also feel like I should add, because when I initially talked about this just in like an Instagram Q&A, a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Grace isn't going to eat meat. Like, how is she going to survive toddlerhood? And is she going to get bullied at school? We live in Southern California. Being a vegetarian, not an out there thing. Being a pescatarian, even less of an out there thing. Like, it is very common. There are vegetarian options everywhere you go. This is not like some really unusual thing for our culture.
And I guess the other part of that is she's pescatarian starting out, and then, you know, wherever she wants to be when she grows up.
Yep.
Gets old enough to start making those decisions, kind of, you know, and that's what she's going to be.
And that's the most important thing for me, is that, you know, we set her up to be her own person and to make her own decisions. And that comes to food as well. Diet is such like a personal thing. Mm-hmm. I don't want her to feel like she has to be a vegetarian or she has to eat meat. Like, it really is up to her. This is just how we're starting her out. And as soon as she's old enough, she can make that decision for herself. I also see a lot of questions about, like, how old is old enough? I don't know. Well, I think we'll kind of see as we get there, right? Like, yeah.
And, you know, it's her world to explore. And if at any age she wants, she can voice that she wants to explore things. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think my biggest thing with not just eating, like, meat, but also fish and also dairy and also plants is having some understanding about where your food comes from.
Yeah.
And I think that we, not to get super deep, but as a society, we have moved away from this idea of understanding where our food comes from, being connected to the food we eat.
Yeah.
And so with Grace, I would really love for her to be able to feel that connection. Like, if we could get chickens someday and then we could have their eggs and she would know, like, oh, our chicken, like, that to me, that would be amazing.
But sweet little toddler Grace, that's going to be...
That's long away.
Far above anything she could comprehend.
Jess is behind the camera. She just brought up something that she thought was really funny that Steven should touch on.
So it was the first time I gave her fish. So I made her some salmon.
Yeah.
And I was, like, so scared that,
I was working upstairs. This is one of Steven's paternity
days. I feel like it was,
days.
Like, a big thing. It's like, oh, she's pescatarian. She's having her first fish. I was like, Sierra, do you want to, like, come down? And, like, are we supposed to, like... bow to the fish or something and say thank you for feeding us.
See, I was
so nervous of like making you worried or upset or something. I don't know. I was just so worried. And you could just care less. You're like, what the heck? No, that's weird. Just eat the fish.
Me, Jess, and Kenzie were upstairs in the office having a production meeting, and we hear from downstairs, Sierra, do you want to come bless the fish? No, it's okay. She can just eat it. But I do appreciate you operating under that level of caution and of respect of my own dietary preferences.
Yeah, because you made it seem so easy. Like, oh, she'd be pescatarian. So I didn't know, like, if in the moment she was eating fish, you were like, no, my sweet daughter.
No, I'm totally fine with it. And you know what? I think up until we had Grace, if you would have asked me, would I prefer if Steven was a vegetarian, I would have said yes, just because, you know, it would be easier. Mm-hmm. I think with having Grace, I honestly like that I'm a vegetarian and you're not, because she has both perspectives. And so if we were both meat eaters and she decided to be a vegetarian, maybe she would feel pressure like she shouldn't. If we were both vegetarians and she decided to eat meat, maybe she would feel pressure like she should. And I like that she gets to grow up with, like, both of our perspectives.
It's the first example of, like, grow up with multiple perspectives and
a wide worldview.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, here's a great question. Someone asks if they feel like we've been able to maintain our identity after becoming parents. And I think this is really interesting, because one of the sentiments I saw the most from other parents online before I had Grace was I am a totally different person after I had my child. Like, I was this person before, and now that I have my child, I'm completely different, and I don't recognize myself. I'm mourning my old self. And that has not been my experience. That has not been my experience at all. And not to say that that experience is wrong, of course, but it's just not what mine has been. And so I was really kind of expecting that. And then, to be honest, I feel more like me being a mom than I did before.
Oh, I love that you said that, because that fits right into what I'm going to say.
Oh, good.
I feel like a thing that where that can come from is, like, you know, how planned was the child?
Yeah.
Because, to your point, I think we got to that stage of life, but it was like, I am now ready to be a dad.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready to give up my life.
Like, that was my identity, is like, this is now who I am. I am Steve, and I am ready to be dad. So then when Grace came and was born, and, you know, the 8 months with Grace, like, that fit into my identity. So kind of to your point, I think your identity was also already kind of, like,
shifting,
mom, and then now Grace just kind of fit into that. Going into it so prepared and trying, you know, year and a half, whatever it was, I think that kind of reduces the impact of the change.
Yeah.
Right, you know?
I would agree with that. And I think another thing that has really helped us to maintain that sense of identity is giving each other, like, still plenty of individual time. I am a mom, but that is not all that I am. Uh-huh. I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a sister, I'm a business owner. I have my own passions and my own things that fulfill me outside of motherhood. And I would say being a mom is the most important thing I do, but it's not the only thing I do.
Yeah. No, and we do really good at making sure ourselves get those times to be us.
Mm-hmm.
And then also making sure each other has time to do that.
Yeah. And also us as a couple.
Yeah.
And I think, I will say, I think that got drastically easier once Grace started sleeping through the night.
Yep.
because she goes down at 7 every night. And then Steven and I usually spend like an hour or two doing our own thing. And then like an hour or two together, hanging out, watching a show, playing video games. And so I think that time at the end of the day for us to just be on our own is really helpful in maintaining our identity. And I also think a big part of it for me has been having really, really wonderful female friendships in my life. In that I don't feel like I got lost in motherhood because I had so many really wonderful friends who were really there for me. And, you know, I appreciate them so much with, you know, Skylar and Kenzie and Jess and my mom and Ryan and Paloma and like just these really, really wonderful women in my life who made me feel like I wasn't alone.
Yeah. That's, I think it's best.
And your mom. I don't want to leave Lisa out. Shout out Lisa.
I think the simplest answer is that schedule's a little bit more busy. I probably can do a little bit less than I used to. But I still feel like the same old dorky Steve. So. Well,
and you know what Steven told me yesterday? He said that he plays more video games now than he has since high school. You said since Grace is born, you play more video games than you did since high school.
Yeah. Well, because Grace goes to bed early. And because Sierra watches Grace on a lot of days, Sierra now works, you know, a little bit in the evening. And now it's like me, like, okay, Sierra's busy. What am I going to do? And games tend to win because also, you know, stress is a little bit higher with a little baby. So this is a great outlet of that.
That's what I was going to say. I said, I think you need video games more now.
Yeah, and you've also pushed me to video games more than I ever have in our entire relationship.
Well, because it used to be that you would get off work, I would get off work, and I'd be like, oh, let's spend some time together. Yeah. I need some, like, person-to-person interaction. Let's go do something together. Now we get done with work, and I'm like, so tired and also kind of touched out. Like, I'm like, I just need some time just for me to reset, to be alone. And I think you kind of feel the same way too.
Yeah. So actually this next one looks like a great segue, which whoever organized the document is probably planning that. So this woman's talking about mom guilt and knowing that she needs to take mean time, but feeling guilty for actually taking that time.
Yeah.
And she rationally knows she needs to, but it's hard.
I feel that. And I think mom guilt has been one of the most difficult things for me to navigate in parenthood. Because I realize when I take a step back, I am a better mom when I have that time to refill my cup. It's the idea that you can't pour from an empty cup. If I am depleted and I am exhausted and I am touched out, I can't be the mom I want to be for Grace.
Yeah.
And so I almost need to tell myself, hey, this self-care time is important, not just for me, but because I'm a better mom when I am really, you know, taking care of myself. And I've also kind of extended that to work as well, because I especially when I was first getting back from maternity leave, I had a really hard time being away from Grace and without feeling guilty and without feeling like, well, I shouldn't be working, I should be with her. And I realized that, you know, obviously working and having a job is good financially for us, you know, but also emotionally, creatively, when I am so passionate about the work that I do, having that and then going back to Grace, I feel fulfilled and I feel like I can be fully present and really take advantage of that quality time with her in a way that before I finished my maternity leave, I wasn't exactly. I was, you know, exhausted and and overwhelmed and stressed.
I think it's really interesting that one, the term is always mom guilt, because I think that's part of the problem itself.
That term in itself is excluding.
Well, no, not so excluding, because I definitely feel no guilt when it's like,
you don't.
I need to kind of walk away and, you know, oh, Sarah, I need a break. I'm going to go do some, I'm going to go for a walk by myself for half an hour. Zero guilt. And I think the whole mom guilt thing kind of comes from this expectation that moms almost shouldn't be doing that. Because I think at the end of the day, it's like, oh, it's logical. I will definitely be the best father when I am taking care of myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
No questions asked. There's no confusion. There's no guilt. Like, it doesn't even cross my mind that I should feel guilty.
I am flabbergasted. I have been operating all this time just assuming that you feel the same guilt that I do.
No, but it's like, if I'm going to go do something for half an hour to clear my head and like reset, or if I'm going to go spend an afternoon with the guys to kind of just recuperate my brain and mental health. No,
you're right. And there shouldn't be guilt for either parent.
Like, it shouldn't be a default. Oh, I should feel guilty for making this decision.
Yeah.
And it's just so interesting that the word mom guilt to me kind of plays into that, because it's like, well, moms shouldn't be doing that. So yeah. Moms should feel a little guilty.
That's so true. No one says dad guilt.
Yeah. And it's just, I think logically speaking, there should be no default guilt assumed.
Well, then do you think the guilt?
But that also, like, that answer comes with privilege of having a significant other who can then take around responsibility.
Yes.
Family that can kind of help out and kind of do those things. So,
yeah. The flexibility for work and finances to take that time.
There's privilege in that answer, but I think default answer should definitely be there should be no guilt.
But do you think that guilt comes internally or externally for moms? Because I think for me, sometimes it's a little bit of both, right?
Yeah.
Part of it is me feeling this expectation of what kind of a mom I should be, and how I should be, how present I should be with Grace, how often I should be with Grace. There's that pressure. And then there's also the societal pressure of, this is what I am supposed to do. This is what I have been told motherhood is. This is how, you know, other people say that I should be as a mom.
Yeah. And, you know, the distinction between those two things, almost one and the same.
Right. Our line is blurred.
Our own opinions have been molded by that. Right. So it's kind of hard to answer that.
It's both.
You know, it is both. But, you know, there is that, like, there's this natural instinct to care and love your child, and take, you know, so that's obviously there. But I don't think that gets in the way of taking a little break. And
yeah, because it doesn't for you. You love and care for Grace just as much as I do, but you don't feel that guilt when you take that time for yourself, which tells me then it's societal, not intrinsic.
Yeah, and that's why I focus on the word mom guilt, I think.
Yeah.
Part of the problem is how we label that itself.
Yeah.
So.
That's such a good point. All right, next question, kind of in the same vein of like the mom guilt, the mom shaming. Do people ask you too many personal questions about Grace in your parenting and give you unsolicited parenting advice? I feel like parents generally get some weird questions about their kids, not to mention unsolicited advice. So I can only imagine that parenting online makes it more complicated.
Yeah, I'm very interested in your thoughts on this, since you're like the online person.
So here's my thing. So I try not to group everything, every criticism, every comment, every piece of feedback as mom shaming, because I think that gets a little dicey. Like
feedback specific to mom and how you mom.
And how I parent. Yes, exactly. Because sometimes people are coming at things from a safety concern. Even if they're incorrect, they are coming at this of, hey, I'm concerned about the safety of, you know, you or your child. And so I'm going to comment this. Like, for example, I wear Grace in a baby carrier sometimes, and the manufacturer guidelines say, you know, you can wear them outward facing, but then the AAP recommendation is to keep it under 30 minutes at a time. For hip development. So we follow those guidelines, but anytime I post a picture or a video clip with Grace in the carrier, I get comments from people saying, hey, it's unsafe, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't wear that. It still bothers me sometimes, because I'm like, no, I'm you know, doing what we have decided is best from all of the things that we've read. But I understand they are concerned for safety. They're coming at that from that perspective. So I try to not get so defensive about everything.
That's why I was going to use the word defensive. It makes you feel like I have to be a little defensive about why we made these decisions.
Right.
It's so complicated and nuanced. You know, every country, region's different governing board might have different advice. And
yes. So another example, I'll post me making a spinach omelet for Grace, and I'll get messages saying, hey, I live in Germany and they say not to give spinach to babies under one. And I'm like, okay, but I can't follow every guideline for every country. I'm going to go with the information that is being recommended here where I live in the U.S. by Grace's pediatrician. And so I understand a little bit. I think also it's the way that that criticism is brought. And so I try to not be so defensive when people are coming from a safety perspective, even if I disagree. The other part of that is the actual mom shaming. You're a bad mom. You're doing this wrong. You shouldn't do this. A lot of times I see people say, if you do this, you're going to ruin your child, right? Like a lot of parents I follow who feel one type of way or another type of way about contact naps, holding a baby. They'll get flooded with comments of, if you hold your baby while they nap, you know, they're never going to sleep again or this or that. And I'm like, you know, let the mom hold their baby if they want to hold their baby while they nap. Yeah. And let the mom share that without feeling like they have to go on this defensive and this, you know, explanation of why they've decided to do contact naps. It's okay to just say, I want to hold my baby when they nap. And I think it kind of goes back to what we were talking about with like parenting styles of like not everyone, I shouldn't generalize, but a lot of people feeling like there is only one right way and any parent who doesn't do it their way is wrong. When really the right way for one family might be the wrong way for another family. And mm-hmm. So I think for me, I try to be less defensive when it's about safety, but when it's truly just about preference, I'm like, keep it to yourself.
I think it's interesting. Raising a kid is like one of the most amazing things in the world, and people get very passionate about how they raise their kid. And at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's very passionate people. I'm very passionate about, you know, some things I do for Grace.
Same.
You might be passionate about different things you do for Grace. Someone else is passionate for their kid. And that's just online. It's just, there's no way to filter that, right? It's just people who are very passionate and they loved how they did their thing. And that's,
and it worked great for them and they want everyone else to see.
Not even that they want that. It's just like, that's just how they see it. Like, wow, this was just so clearly the way.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just kind of like turn off my brain for like, oh, that's how they did it. Cool.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I just go into it acknowledging that everyone kind of has different perspectives and things like that. And, you know, I think as a parent, I have my sources of truth that I refer to, mm-hmm. And that's it. And then I just see other people talking about how they did it. And I don't see it as them saying, this is how I did it. You're dumb and wrong for doing it your way. It's just like, this is the way I did it. And then I kind of insert like a, I was just very passionate about it and I just can't imagine it your way.
I think you're right in theory. I think if that's the way it actually was, that would be great. But I do think a lot of the times, especially online, it's like, this is the right way. This is the only way. And if you don't do this, you're wrong.
Yeah.
I've also tried to protect myself and my own mental health and deciding that there are some hot button issues that I may feel a certain type of way about. But I've just decided I don't want to share that online.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to open myself up to, I'm not passionate enough about sharing this thing to open myself up to that level of criticism.
Yeah.
And so we are very selective in like what we choose to share, partially because I'm like, you know what? I maybe don't want to deal with that mom shaming today. Yeah. And I maybe just want to protect my mental health.
Yeah.
So we said we were going to keep this short. We're just going to record for like 30, 45 minutes and it's been a bit longer. So we're just going to do one more question. I had a bunch more pulled, but we're just going to end it here. Cause we have to go tap my dad out. he's watching Grace and, we need to go relieve him. Yeah. So
for the last question, mm-hmm. How and what boundaries did you set in terms of Grace with internet, family, or friends?
Okay. For the internet, like I said, we really kind of err on the side of caution when sharing about Grace in that if I'm even questioning whether I should share something,
mm-hmm.
cut it, don't show it. Don't share it because I'd rather cut it and then go, oh, well, I guess I could have shared that than be like, I don't think I should have shared that.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that we do. And then also any clip of Grace in the vlogs, both Steven and I watch back.
Yep.
So I edit most of our vlogs. Sometimes Mario edits them. But when I'm editing a vlog, I call Steven up and I show him at least all the clips that Grace is in. Sometimes he watches back the whole thing. But
yeah.
All the clips Grace is in just to make sure I didn't, you know, miss anything or there's something I thought was okay that he didn't think was okay.
Yeah, it's just like very, just side of caution. Like, oh, no, let's not include that.
Yep.
Like default, it's easy just to say no.
Yep.
You know, and there's been a lot of fun little clips where like, it's just not worth it. So.
And the hard thing too is I think before we had Grace, I thought that it would be either, you know, this thing is a positive thing and so we'll share this and this thing is, you know, exposing her too much so we won't share it. But I realized there's so much nuance in that middle ground where I also don't want to be filming and sharing every happy moment she has. I also don't want her to, you know, have most of her life having a camera in her face. I want those moments to be few and far between throughout our day. And also, I don't want her to be too central of a focus in the vlogs.
Yeah, I agree.
I want it to still be under our perspective and what we're sharing. So even if there's something that, like, maybe it is not an inherently negative thing to share or something that could embarrass her, if it centers her too much in the narrative and it's sharing information about her that I don't really feel like we need to share, we'll just cut it.
Yeah. And then for family and friends, it's all kind of standard stuff. I guess the only thing is, you know, since Grace has a bigger internet presence, you know, just kind of more mindful of what kind of things get uploaded to social medias and Instagram about her.
I think we'd do that even if we weren't vloggers.
I personally, I don't know. It's hard to say because I don't know. I can't compare, but I would think I would not care. it's for me, it's specifically thinking, oh, Grace, a lot of people know who Grace is from the internet. Therefore,
we need to be extra careful.
Just another step in the caution of.
Yeah. So we've just asked family and friends to, you know, show us things before they post them if they involve Grace. And we do that same thing for our friends' kids. Like anytime you see like a picture or a clip in a vlog that has a minor in it, I always have the parent approve it and watch it back first. So like,
especially because it's online and such a big audience.
Yes. And so our family and friends basically just do the same thing for Grace. And I think there's only been a couple times that we were like, eh, don't post that. Cause I feel like our family and friends are usually on the same page as us.
Yeah. It's less about like, oh, let us see the picture you want. And it's more just share our sentiment. And I think everyone's kind of on the same page. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, I love sharing our life, and it's such a blessing that I'm able to do that for work because it's something I can do with Grace, but also, you know, I want to make sure that she has a normal childhood.
Yeah.
And that she can be a normal kid. And so, especially moving forward, I don't know how we share Grace online and how that will change as she gets older. But I know it's always going to be something that Steven and I are having meaningful conversations about.
Yep.
Because it's very important.
Well, speaking of meaningful conversations, that was a great meaningful conversation.
It was. And you know what? My nerves went away. I was so nervous at the beginning. And then once we got going, it felt natural. It's like riding a bike.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for listening along. Who knows where this whole podcast thing's going to go, but there's an episode.
and there'll be another episode maybe next week, maybe in like 2 weeks with me, Ryan, and Paloma. And you know what's funny? Steven actually was the big driver between wanting to bring back the podcast and just do it casually, which was with Ryan and Paloma when we were in Big Bear.
Yeah.
Steven was like, this should be a podcast. Like, the camera should be rolling.
Yeah, it was like, it inspired me to think about it.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's go tap out our sweet, my father-in-law, and we'll go hang out with Grace, have some dinner.
See our daughter, do bath time, bedtime, all the things. Bye!